You have your Bibles, open them with me this morning to the book of Jonah. Can you say that with me? Jonah. Whoa, we're going too far there. There we go. Jonah, 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 Jonah. Jonah. I'm looking to see if I see any Jonahs in the building. Jonah, Jonah, Jonah. Be careful how you hang out with Jonahs. You wind up in a storm of their making. Jonah. Jonah chapter number one. Jonah, the crazy prophet. Jonah, the prodigal prophet. Jonah. Father God, help us this morning, we pray. I just thank you for your presence and for your promises, for your provisions, even for prodigals. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." That's stacked pretty high, isn't it? When it's reached God's nose and it's a stench. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. As a boy, I learned not to argue with my mama and daddy. If they said, "Clean up your room," or "You can't go here," my usual question was, "Well, I can't do that right now. We're going fishing. They're expecting me down there at the cut. We're going fishing. And we got to get some cockahoe minnows, so you won't go anywhere until your room's clean." But why? Did you ever do that? What was your mother and dad's response to your "but why"? "Because I said so." It must have been something they gave parents or something. Everybody's parent. "Because I said," say it with me, "because I said so." Well, I tried arguing with that a few times. They said, "Because I said so," and I say, but you don't understand. "Because I said so, you don't understand." And I learned real quickly that it did no good to argue. Whatever that was the edict, and that was it. It was the law of the Medes and Persians. It was over right there. God gives a word to this man. How many of you say, "I would die for a word from the Lord"? You got a whole book full, but the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. The word of the Lord. How valuable is the word of the Lord? In the days of Eli, it says that the word of the Lord was rare. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." The word of the Lord is valuable, more precious than silver, more precious than gold, more precious than diamonds and emeralds and rubies. The word of the Lord that has been purified. The word of the Lord is more precious than silver that's been purified seven times. The word of the Lord. Say it with me, the word of the Lord. And I don't know where he was, I don't know what was going on, but this was a seasoned prophet of God. He was a man who knew God. If you look at your Bible, you will find out he says he feared the Lord. When he was responding to the mariners on the ship, he said, "I fear the Lord." He was a man who spoke God's word to the nation, and God is giving him a directive. Arise, say it with me, arise. Oh, that was weak. Arise. Go to Nineveh, cry out against it, for its sin has come up before me. Jonah was a prophet that knew God. In the chapter 4 and verse number 2, he says this, "I know that you," talking to God, "you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." He knew who God was. He knew God's character. He knew what God was like. Not only that, but he believed God. That's why he went the other way. He believed God. He knew that God was up to something. And he, listen, didn't want to be a part of it. A prophet didn't want to be a part of it. In chapter 1 and verse 9, when he's talking again to the mariners, he says, "I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord. I respect God. Then why in the world would he turn and go the opposite direction from God's directive? Jonah is a bit of an anomaly. The winds obeyed God. The whale obeyed God, and excuse me if I call him a whale, but he was a big fish, and the biggest fish I can think of is a whale. If God said a guppy swallowed him, I'd believe it anyway. But a whale, something big, huge. And he says, it says here that the whale obeyed God. God sent the whale and swallowed him. It says the wicked Ninevites obeyed God. It says the worm obeyed God. The only one that's disobeying in this story is Jonah. Jonah, the man of God, is not doing. Why? I guess God could respond because, but why? Jonah's disobedience wasn't the result of unbelief. Jonah's disobedience was the result of misbelief. He accurately discerned God's character in his heart. He understood what God said clearly. It wasn't the result of a misunderstanding. His disobedience was outright rebellion. Old Testament says obedience is better than sacrifice, and rebellion is as a sin of, amazing, a prophet of God, a man who knows God, a man who fears God, a man who has an understanding of God's character, turns and goes the opposite direction. Of course, no one in this room has ever done that, right? What does God do? What does God do? What does God, say it with me, what does God do when his prophet disobeys? There's a lot of us in this room, we have at times in our life deviated from God's purpose and his plan. We knew what God wanted, but we live in a world in which that seems to be the norm. We live more by the edict and ethics of the culture than we do by the ethics of God's word. I'm surprised, and yet not surprised, that in the day in which we live, I've talked to people, and I've said, you know, this is what the word of the Lord says, and I'm going to get personal. Is that okay? The word of the Lord says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So why are you whining and complaining? It's the will of God for you to give thanks, because God doesn't change. As a matter of fact, he might have a purpose for that situation, and it just may be that there's a jailer waiting to hear the word of the Lord, and that's why you're positioned in that place. And everything, say it with me, everything, not just the good things, but everything give. The Bible says that we're to put away lying and speak truth to everybody with our neighbor. I won't even go there. The Bible says put away stealing and work with your hands so you'll have something to give to people. Wow. I don't see any thieves in the room. I see prophets. I see prophetesses. The word of the Lord came to him. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Not a suggestion. This wasn't God asking for Jonah's counsel. This wasn't God giving him multiple choices. This was God giving him a divine directive. There's no guessing what God said. He knew what God said. But instead of doing what God said, which would have meant a journey over land 500 miles to the west, he gets in a boat and he's going to travel 2,500 miles in the opposite direction, almost on a straight line, on a horizontal plane, 2,500 miles away. If you want to just recalculate, it would be 3,000 miles from the destination that God had established for him. I talked to that young man, and I said, how long have you known Jesus? Oh, I love Jesus. I said, well, how many children do you have? He said, well, I don't have any yet. I said, well, you and your wife, assuming, I'm going to get in trouble here. He said, well, she's not my wife. We just live together. Really? You don't see a problem with that? I said, I'm just telling you the word of the Lord. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write the book. He did. He doesn't say this is a suggestion. He says there's a moral path that you need to walk. That we need to live sanctified lives. That is, lives that are separated and set apart to serve God's purpose. Smoking muggles, that's what my dad called them. Marijuana, the little... Hey, I had a young man tell me, there's nothing wrong with that. God made the stuff, and he intends for us to use it. Really, he made Sinai, too. I say, are you listening to me? There is in our day this tendency that we can call ourselves by the name of Christ and yet live a life that is diametrically opposed to his will and plan for our life. I know I'm not supposed to be preaching this way because this is not politically correct, but I don't want you to wake up in hell and say the preacher didn't tell me. I want to tell you there's a right way to live, and Jesus didn't save you so he could sanctify your sin. He saved you so he could deliver you from your sin, so you could live the life he wants you to live. The guardrails on the side of the road at that 5,000-foot elevation on that mountain are not there to keep you from having fun. They're to keep you there from, if you happen to be looking at your, if you happen to be looking at your phone and you veer over too close to the edge, it'll throw you back over. God's word is there as a guardrail. God's commands are there as a guardrail. Jesus said, teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. I know we're not under the law, but we're not without law. And it's the law of Christ, and it's the law of love. Get this. He said he'd take those commandments and put them in our heart. Suddenly his values become my values. Suddenly what he wants becomes what I want. If that's not happening in your life, you might want to go back to the altar where you met Jesus and say, Jesus, we just didn't hook up good here. I'm saying these things not because I'm against you. But Jonah says, I got the word of the Lord, but I don't want this because I don't want those people to get right with God. I want God to take and pour out justice on them, and I know he's a God of mercy. Those are horrible people. That was a moral, political cesspool. How many say we might be living in one? It doesn't matter what the government says. It's what God says. And while God may permit you the opportunity to take the life of an unborn baby in your womb, God says it is absolutely wrong. Amen. Sorry, I just crossed the line for some folks. But that's what the word of the Lord says. And you just happen in on a church where we're going to tell you what the Lord says. We're not here to salve you and to make you feel better. I hope you, until you come to Jesus, chafe under the goadings of the Spirit of God like Paul did. How long are you going to kick against this? It's high time that the church become the people who walk out the promises of God, but also walks out the teachings of Scripture. Jonah decided he knew better than God. He decided he was going to go his way. I remember as a little boy standing in my backyard after church on Sunday morning preaching my little heart out. And what I experienced there was the presence of God. What I said, we didn't change the world. Except for my little neighbor boy who leaned against the fence, green handlebars coming out of his nose, and he's just hanging on to that hurricane fence listening to every word I said like it was really important. And for him it was. And I feel that same spirit this morning in this room. I feel that same spirit that was touching that one little boy's heart. We were probably about 5 or 6, 7 years old. I don't remember, but we were young. I wasn't delivering deep theology. And while this is a deep sermon, pun intended, Jonah, God's in love with you. So much so that he gave his only son to die for you and for me. Now, you think about that. That's not just a story somebody wrote. That's a reality that took place on a mountain called Calvary, a hill called Calvary in Jerusalem. God cares. So if he would give his son, and that's how much he loves you, then what more would he give you? Real life. And that's what Jesus said. He came that we might have, that's not houses and cars, that's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's being able to go to sleep and not worried about somebody catching up to you. Not living paranoid. Does that communicate? Jonah is an anomaly in this story. Everybody else is praying except for Jonah till he gets in the whale. God's plan wasn't Jonah's plan. You can't live your way and God's way too. And so Jonah Made a decision. You know, Joshua said, choose this day whom you will. That's what Jonah did, and he got on a boat, and he decided he wanted to go, listen to this, from the presence of the Lord, from the plan of the Lord, the purpose of the Lord. How many of you know that when the prodigal son left home, he didn't have the pig pen on his mind? When the prodigal son got in his little newly bought Corvette and started headed to the far country with his new hairdo, Matt didn't cut his hair, with his new hairdo and his new wardrobe and his suitcase packed and his brand new shoes, he had a plan, and it wasn't to get to the pig pen. But how many of you know Jonah gets on a boat, and his desire is he's going to Tarshish. He's going to get away from. How many of you know, and this is the second point of my sermon this morning, bing, bing. I'm sorry, I failed to flick my bic here. There is the word of the Lord that comes to him. But if you won't heed the word of the Lord, guess what? God will send a wind. You look at it over here. He says it in the book, chapter number 1, and I think it's verse number 4 somewhere in there. And God hurled a wind on the sea, and the boat began to rise and fall. Sickest I've ever been was seasick. We went 3 miles in a courtesy of the United States government in a metal coffin and to make a beach landing. And by the time we got there, I understood why those guys ran out of those things and faced machine gun fire that was deadly. Death is better than seasickness. Up and down, and the boat's beginning to creak and crack, and the sailors who are experienced, they've got a long journey ahead, and this storm is tearing the boat up, and to keep it afloat, they start throwing stuff overboard. Where do they find Jonah? Asleep, the captain says, arise, O sleeper. How can you sleep at a time like this? Wake up and call on your God. Maybe he'll hear you and save the rest of us. Jonah never prays. All the guys on the boat are praying, everybody to their own God. Finally, they interrogate him. Where are you from? Who are you? What are you here about? What's this? And Jonah fesses up and says, I'm running from God. And if you throw me, wow, isn't it something when the world starts rebuking the church? They expect something from us. They expect a lifestyle that's right according to the scriptures. If you mess up, there are going to be 15 fingers pointing at you because you had told them that that thing was wrong and now you did it. See, I didn't come here for this morning. This is what we're serving, sorry. My house, when I was a kid growing up, we didn't have 15 things in a menu. You either ate what was on the table or you just went hungry. Mm-hmm. There he is. The boat's falling apart and everybody's trying. And he says, you throw me overboard and this storm will stop. You know, I want you to think about something with me, because these guys do everything they can to save Jonah. They just row harder. They work harder. They don't want to throw him overboard. Even these old pagan people had more going for them than... I've had people tell me, you know, I know people who aren't Christians that practice the things that we Christians teach, and they are better at it than we are. That's going to get tough right here, but stay with me. They're trying to save Jonah, and God's trying to save Jonah. Two different kinds of salvation. You know, you stepped into some people's lives, and you try to protect them from what God's doing in their life, and all you're doing is extending the process. You're not ending anything, you're enabling. I say, are you listening? Oh. We think here in America you can throw money at something and that will solve the problem. It just creates a new problem, extends the problem. This is not how to win friends and influence people. There comes a time when you need to get out of the way. It's called tough love. It's the way you, and I'm talking to all of us this morning. I didn't plan this for you. I planned this for us. God got me off one track to get me on another. There just comes a time where you got to take your hands off so they can get to their pig pen and have an encounter with God, an encounter with reality. And if you keep on trying to be God and trying to save, you're going to wind up destroying them and extending the process. But I don't want them to hurt. No. Hear me. You don't want to hurt, because it hurts to watch people we love hurt. But sometimes you've got to walk through it. You just got to walk through it and wait and let God do what he wants to do. And until they run out of gas, they're going to keep riding in their Corvette, and they're going to keep. And if you keep sending money to the prodigal over there in the, I say, are you listening? You say, no, God knew you would be here today. That's somewhere down the line, you're going to have to make up your mind. I think Jonah could have stopped the storm by simply saying, God, uncle, if he would have repented and said, I'm ready to go, y'all take me back to Joppa, the place where I departed, take me back to land, I think that storm would have stopped. But Jonah says, no, I'd rather die than do the will of God. We can arrange that. And so finally, they throw him in. Are you with me? Not every storm in your life comes from the devil. You can rebuke devils till your teeth fall out, but until you get right with God and get it straight with God and quit playing games, you're going to stay in the storm. God knows how to keep you moving right on through the wilderness and around the mountain again. Here we go. Same old, same old. And God says, when you get ready, I'm ready. But until you're ready, I'm not going to force this on you. And that's called repentance. That means turning around, changing. Whew, man. I didn't mean to take your smile away. I'm sorry. But I want to tell you something. It's a well-held secret nowadays. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. This isn't it. Your best life now. Sorry. Sometimes being a Christian, God will call you to do things you don't want to do. Jonah never came to the place where he wanted to do it. He came to a place where he was willing to do it. God didn't ask you to smile as you're going to the cross to die. Jesus endured the shame and the suffering of the cross because of the joy. He doesn't ask you, well, I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter what you feel. What did he say? And that's where, when we fail to do what he says, here comes storm. Storm could be anything. It could be economic. It could be whatever. But how many of you know the storm's intent is not to destroy? The storm's intent is to bring us to our senses. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. What caused you to cry? The distress. No, God would never do that to his sweet little darlings. He chastens those he loves. And his objective is, come on, how many of you have been chastened by God at some time or another? It's to get us to turn around. Because some of you don't realize it this morning, and there are people who will listen to this later. You don't realize it. But your choices, you're headed for the mother of all storms. You're headed for something that's going to tear up your ship, and you're going to be sick in the midst of it. There's a way. His name is Jesus. And it's not just get me out of this. Jesus, I want to go your way. I want to be what you call me to be. I want to live the life you want me to live. You can't have it both ways. You can't live for God and the devil at the same time. You can't serve God and mammon. You have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. Look at somebody next to you and say, you got to make a choice. Which brings me to my third and final point. Short sermon this morning, but very deep. They throw him overboard and a miracle takes place. Storm stops just like that. It's amazing when we obey God. I'm going to get real risky. Some of you need to break some relationships. Not quit loving people. You need to break some relationships because they keep taking you back into the same old cesspool. Say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I need to check up from the neck up to eliminate stinking thinking and hardening of the attitudes. I need a change, Jesus, and it ain't going to come by me just continuing. I need a change of heart. I need a change of thinking. I need to. They threw the boy overboard. Guess what? Storm stopped. You say, I've been trying to think about getting rid of that old man anyway. Now you got to work that one out. There he is, bobbing up and down. What are the sailors doing? Did you notice? Verse 16, 15, 16. What are they doing? And they sacrifice to Yahweh. And a hard attitude, hard-headed prophets bobbing up and down in the sea. My father's servants fare better than this. Son, what it'll take to change your situation will be that you go home in repentance. You're going to have to eat some crow. You have to admit that you were wrong. And this is where we finish our little part of the journey. What does God do with a prophet that rebels? What does God do with his children that rebel? He chastens them. He used circumstances, and in this case, it was a storm. I want to meddle there, but I'm going to just move. And then the last thing that he does here is, and they're having a worship service on the boat, and there's the man of God in the water. How long can you tread water? How long are you going to hold out in the midst of your circumstance before you say, uncle? Because God's not trying to make you take castor oil. He's wanting to give you life and that more abundantly. Well, you're breathing in and out, but you don't have life. He wants you to be able to wake up in the morning and go, wow, what a great day, even when you have to go to work. He wants you to know the peace that passes all understanding and the joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. He wants you to know moments like we had this morning at your house while you're washing dishes and you're worshiping and you encounter his presence and you know that you're walking in the will of God. Parenthesis, obedience is better than, obedience is sacrifice. If I take a bull and I kill it and put it on an altar, I've offered something I own. But if I take myself and my will and put it on the altar, I've offered myself. God could care less about all the promises you made. You're going to give this. You're going to give to missions if you win a lottery and all that stuff. He wants you. Y-O-U. You know what you need? H-I-O-U. Him. There he is, bobbing up and down, and here comes the mother of all whales. Some of you are about to get swallowed. Going from one storm to a stomach. From a storm to a dark place. I have a little problem with claustrophobia. Anybody else in this place? Yeah, I don't like things over my face. I mean, this mask thing that's going on. And then they said two. And somebody was saying that they said that maybe you need to take a pillow and put it over your wife's face and hold it down real. I don't like that. I use those little breathe right strips to help me breathe at night so I can get as much air in my lungs as I can. Because sometimes I wake up going, and I saw what they did to Otha. I ain't going to bring my nose over to that doctor and let him chisel it. They had more laying on the table. All that stuff didn't come out of her head. There ain't no way. Can you imagine being in the stomach of a whale? You say, I don't believe that. That's just a myth. No, it's just, Jesus said this was a prophet, Jonah. He sanctioned the story about Jonah, that Jonah was not just a parable. It was something that really happened. You think it's bad in the midst of your storm, but just hang in there. It's going to get suffocating. And I believe that Jonah actually dies up inside that whale. Because Jesus used it 3 days. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth. And get this. He said, the people of Nineveh are going to rise up against you and judgment because Jonah preached a simple message, 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed, and they believed him. And these guys are back with the little Samaritan woman. These guys are asking for signs. Show us a sign, Jesus. Believe the message. Believe the truth. What did he say to her? I am he. I got to back up a second. Now I'm going to move forward. One big gulp. There are some areas of my life where I had to die to me, die to my ideas. You know, there wasn't anybody there with red roses and a nice funeral. Nobody patted me on the back. But in order for me to go on with God, I had to die. He said that whale took him to the depths, and there was darkness. When you come to the end of yourself, maybe we could say it like the prodigal said it, when he came to himself and said, my father, his servants have better conditions and situation than I do. I'm going to go home. I don't want to say to my dad, I have no right to be called your son, but I just want to, be one of your servants. God has a way of taking the starch out of us. We think we're the exception. But I tell you what, when you plumb the depths in the belly of a whale with his little belly sticking, when his stomach is just pressing against your nose, God has a way of breaking us. What's it going to take before you say yes to God? What's it going to take? The storm wasn't enough. This is the place where Jonah will cry out to God. This is the place where he will have a turnaround moment. You're here today, and God has used me, a piece of gumbo mud from South Louisiana, to call you. That's how much he loves you. I am a nobody. I am internationally unknown. I'm a voice crying in your wilderness. And God is saying, I love you, and I have plans for you, and I want the best for you. It's time. It's time to say yes to him. Father God, thank you for your presence in this place. Covered a lot of hard territory here. This has been a ride in a bumpy Jeep. The shock absorbers in this thing just don't work. We've been jerked around and snatched around by this word this morning, but it's because you love us. Lord, I remember my mom and dad saying, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you, and I didn't understand that until I became a parent. But it's apparent to me now that you love us, and that's why you chasing us. It's why you deal with us. And I don't know, but that there's someone in this building this morning, as Sharon said earlier, that's come here carrying a weight that they are not built to carry. And you're here today saying, come to me. I've been through a lot of storms, Lord, a lot of them of my own making. But I found you to be the one who can speak peace in the midst of the storm. You can cause the boat to get back to shore. You know how to turn us around. I don't know, maybe somebody here this morning, I don't know, somebody listening to this audio is running from you. They're trying to put as much distance between you and them. They're mad at you because you didn't do something they wanted you to do. I just pray that there will be a reconciliation this morning, because you're not the one that's wrong. You're not the one making the mistake. We do. Help us to see your wisdom, the wisdom of your way, the wisdom of your work. You cared for that city, and you cared for Jonah. You didn't kill him. You didn't make him go blind. sent a storm. Then you sent the whale. How merciful you are. How long-suffering you are. We ask that you would touch us today. Touch our hearts. If there is somebody here this morning, just one person, that you were speaking to, I pray that they will respond to your word. I pray that they will respond to you, Jesus.